is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, you've got questions. We've got a lot of answers, whether it's just regular redraft stuff or dynasty questions. It's a mailbag. A Thursday night mailbag that you might be hearing on Friday. So happy Friday to everybody. I'm Adam Azer with Ben Gretsch. What's up, Ben?
I'm excited to be here.
That I'm not convinced. Heath said you were coming in hot today. What do you got?
We'll get to the news and notes, and that's when we'll have the discussion.
Uh-oh. Is it going to be about Miles Sanders?
It's not going to be about Miles Sanders. I didn't even know Miles Sanders was in the notes. Oh, yes, I did, because Devontae Freeman. I think Devontae Freeman's going somewhere else.
Okay, good. Dave, Richard, hey.
I'd be mortified if I had to hear the talk from Heath. The talk.
I had to give the talk just a week and a half ago to my 9-year-old son. It was puberty time at his school, and his teacher sent me a message and said, I'm assigning the dads to teach this to their sons. The teachers are not teaching this year. Please teach your son about puberty.
They actually called it puberty time?
Yeah, well, I did.
Heath, I have a 9-year-old daughter, and I've been, you know, I'm a dad of a daughter, and I'm hoping she'll stay young, but you're telling me you had to give the talk to a 9-year-old, and that scares the crap out of me.
Just let your wife do it, Ben.
No, we just talked about erections and pubic hair and things like that.
Well, this is a fantasy show. Should we call them regressions? Like positive regressions?
Okay, listen. We never brought up Deontay Johnson when we talked about your two wide receivers, and we got a lot of pushback for that. So we're definitely going
to talk about
Deontay Johnson. Somebody's got a regression for Deontay Johnson, apparently. And we're going to read your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and we're going to read your Apple Podcast questions as well. Let's start with our news and notes, and the first one is about Deontay Johnson. He said he played through a sports hernia, played with a sports hernia injury for most of the season. Week 2, he got hurt. And he had a really nice rookie year, especially on a team that was so bad throwing the football. Johnson had 680 yards, 5 touchdowns on 92 targets. I don't know.
Okay. We're just going to do it now. Okay. I at the beginning of the year, I was more optimistic about Deontay Johnson than I currently am. But this has been Deontay Johnson hype week on Twitter. Everyone's excited about it. I saw some stuff when the sports hernia deal came out. He was that good with a sports hernia? He was that good? James Washington averaged more yards per game, per reception, and per target than Deontay Johnson. Of course, Juju Smith-Schuster did as well. I don't get it. This is a guy who went to Toledo for 4 years, had one season with more than 800 yards. In 2018, his last year at Toledo, he basically split receiving work evenly with someone named Cody Thompson and another guy named John Vea Johnson. They both had more touchdowns than Deontay Johnson did that year. He's 5'10" and 180 pounds. He's not fast. He didn't test well at the combine. His best comp on Player Profiler is Randall Cobb. His college breakout age was a year older than Juju was as a rookie. He's older than Juju right now.
This was good stuff. All I said was he had a nice rookie year, by the way.
Because last year, he catches 59 passes for 680 yards. And apparently, according to one site, Pro Football Focus, he led receivers in broken tackles forced. I think Ben told you his thoughts on that particular statistic yesterday. And he also apparently created a lot of separation on his routes. He's not as good as Juju in terms of like prospect status, looking at him coming out of college. And he didn't do anything last year that should really change our opinion of that. He's a worse prospect coming out of college than definitely Juju was, definitely James Washington and Claypool. They're all better athletic profiles than him. I don't get it at all. He is more likely to be fourth on the Steelers in receiving this year than he is to be a top 20 wide receiver.
Anyone feel that differently?
First of all, I just want to say that Deontay Johnson week resonates much better than puberty week. Next thing I want to say is that I think what I remember watching from Deontay Johnson when he came in from Toledo, his film looked like he could change direction pretty quickly, and he was willing to cross the field. And it almost made you think a little bit of Antonio Brown, but you never want to call anybody Antonio Brown because Antonio Brown was just so good, but he doesn't have the speed of AB. I think it really comes down to just how big of an opportunity the Steelers are going to give him. And last year they gave him a pretty decent opportunity. He was okay with it. If the hype gets out of control, Curtis Samuel style, then you know not to touch him. But if you can still get him in like that round 10, maybe round 9 range, despite everything he said, and I think he really did a great job of breaking Deontay Johnson, not breaking down, but breaking him. I think that there's just not a serious amount of risk and a lot of potential, especially if he's just going to see single coverage all the time in that Steelers offense.
You said you never want to compare anyone to Antonio Brown. I believe the Steelers did last offseason. That was something that they were talking about. We had some quotes from the team, and that's the role he played, and he was good. But I don't go as far as Heath, but I do agree that the hype's way out of control. I mean, I was trying to figure out when this was. Time is like not a thing anymore. I don't know if it was 2 months ago or a couple weeks ago. Maybe some of our listeners will remember, but there was a point not that long ago that I called Deontay Johnson undervalued in all formats on some listener question we had about, you know, undervalued guys or sleepers. I think it was on a Dynasty pod. That was the time to buy him. Now what's happening is everyone, like, the hype starts building and everyone real, like, this happens sometimes in off seasons, especially when there's nothing going on. Everyone starts realizing, oh yeah, this guy was undervalued, and it's almost like we missed the boat, and now we're all going to say how much we love Deontay Johnson to the point where he's way overvalued. I mean, this type of thing happens every year where a guy jumps so many rounds and then he starts getting drafted way too high. And I do agree with Heath. I'm optimistic about him, more optimistic than Heath, but I agree that this hype is not warranted.
Like, there's talk about him going in round 7 or round 8 eventually. And you just think of some of the receivers that we've drafted in that range so far in our mocks. Two that come to mind are Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller. I mean, I'd laugh. I'll say this now on May 28th. I'd laugh if Deontay Johnson went ahead of those guys.
Would you take Deontay Johnson ahead of Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, I think so too.
I probably will project him for more points than Justin Jefferson, but I don't really see as much upside as Justin Jefferson has.
Okay. It's kind of interesting. The Steelers have drafted 3 wide receivers in the very similar range the last 3 years. Deontay Johnson was the 66th overall pick. Chase Claypool most recently was the 49th pick. And James Washington, the first of the 3 to be drafted, the earliest, you know, 2017, I guess, was the 60th pick. Oh, 2018. Yeah, so 2018 Washington, 2019 Johnson, 2020 Chase Claypool. And final question here. Do you rank Johnson or Washington higher? And as Heath mentioned, Washington had a better year. He had more yards. He had fewer catches. He's more of a downfield guy. Higher, more air yards, more A-dot, higher A-dot. How about that for Washington? But who do you like better, Johnson or Washington, and how close is it? And then just finish this conversation there. Dave?
Johnson way more than Washington.
Okay, Ben?
I'm just trying to hold back. I've got another point, but I'm holding it.
Hold it back. Ben?
Yeah, same thing. Washington plays the same role that Claypool was drafted to play, downfield role. There's different roles in this offense.
Okay.
Deontay Johnson is very much in the Antonio Brown role. You got to have him a lot higher, in my opinion.
Heath?
I have Johnson higher than Washington. I'm not taking either in the first 8 rounds of a draft, so I'm not sure how much it can be that far apart. But, yeah, I'd rather draft Johnson than Washington.
Cool. Thank you. Good discussion there. Thanks to all the listeners who made sure that I did not forget about Deontay Johnson. It wasn't really an oversight because I was mostly focusing on the year 2 receivers that had 900 yards, which was the threshold we'd been using, and there were only 3 of them. But fair enough. Both Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky are going to play with the starters during the preseason. Paris Campbell will play more in the slot this season. Give me a 10-second reaction, Dave.
Gonna love hanging on to him in deeper PPR drafts.
John Harbaugh envisions roles for Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, and Gus Edwards. 10-second reaction, Heath.
Justice Hill is going to be a kick returner?
Philadelphia has made an offer to Devontae Freeman, according to Jeff McClain of the Philadelphia Inquirer. McClain also says that the Bucs are interested. They haven't made an offer to Freeman, but they're interested. So the Eagles making an offer to Freeman. What do we think about this, guys? Ben?
No strong feeling. I don't think Freeman's good anymore. He was really inefficient last year, and I've seen some advanced stats this offseason that controlled for – I can't remember what it controlled for, but he was really bad, like the worst, and by a lot. So I don't think he's good anymore.
Is he someone who could replace Sanders at the goal line?
No. Why?
I think it'd be a bigger deal if he went to Tampa.
Agreed.
Yeah,
I could see him going to Tampa and just taking all of the third down work.
That it's seriously something that was even brought up by Jeff McClain, that Tampa was in the mix for Freeman.
Right.
The biggest area that Sanders was weak at last year was short yardage goal line. And the fact that Hyde went to Seattle just makes me want to do, you know, leaps across my living room, because he could have definitely swiped that role from Miles Sanders. I'm not sure Freeman can, and I don't think LeSean McCoy can.
I'm just hoping that if they sign Freeman, that he doesn't become a passing downs guy and takes a lot of catches away from Sanders.
It would be the dumbest thing in the world if the Eagles did that, where they take Miles Sanders, who's a good pass catcher. Look at how he did catching the football in the first like 6 or 7 weeks of the season. He was insane. Why would you take him out of that role for Devontae Freeman?
It wouldn't impact Sanders that much, because you'll recall late last year they were using Boston Scott in a pass catching role.
It's true.
But Sanders was still splitting out and running some different types of routes. I don't think it would impact Sanders that much, even if like they can have multiple pass catching backs in that offense.
They could use another back for depth. They don't need another back to mix in with Sanders and Scott.
Yeah, I hope so. But just to give the numbers, Sanders, no, I know Heath makes fun of me for this. I look at 6 games for Sanders. It's the 6 games after Jordan Howard got hurt and before Miles Sanders got hurt in week 17. Makes sense to me. He had 25 catches. Boston Scott had 19 catches. But remember, the wide receivers were really not a part of it. They were banged up. Greg Ward was the only one that was really doing anything. So that things could change. But yeah, Sanders was on pace in those 6 games for 251 carries and 67 catches, which would have been top 8 in carries, about 8th in carries, and about 8th in catches over a full season. Not necessarily on a per-game basis, but pretty good in terms of touches, especially for a rookie. All righty. Moving on
here. You definitely say catches. It doesn't rhyme with Gretsch when you say catches.
Well, it's because how it's spelled. I feel good about that. Moving on, so just some NFL notes. They will now allow 3 players to return from IR. The NFL will not change the onside kick rule, which they should. And the NFL will not bring back the instant replay review, which is such a failure. It's not that hard. If millions of people watching at home can tell what pass interference is, don't overcomplicate it. I think this is a major failure on their part, and no reason why they shouldn't use technology to get more calls right. I'm Adam Azer. I support this message. Now, college football is getting closer and closer, so it's the perfect time to unveil off-season rankings. Throughout May, the Cover 3 podcast team has been counting down their preseason top 25 in separate episodes, and this week they're focusing on the top 5. Of course, you can go back and hear all of this. Chip Patterson and company have been breaking down each team in their Hurry Up Hot Seat series under 15 minutes. Very cool series. So where will Clemson and Ohio State rank? They're bringing back the top 2 quarterbacks in the country. Will Alabama crack the top 3 after they lost Tua? Download and subscribe to the Cover 3 podcast wherever you listen to FFT. Unfortunately, I will not be able to play poker next week on Twitch, but these guys will, and they're bringing in the Pick 6 crew. Will Brinson and Sean Wagner McGough are going to be joining a bunch of our guys on Twitch next Tuesday. Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. So it's poker with the FFT crew plus Will Brinson and Sean Wagner-McGough from Pick 6. Go to twitch.com/FF today. Follow us. Tell your friends. Watch us play poker. It was extremely fun. I will miss it on Tuesday. I'll be back the following week. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're at 15 minutes. We're going to spend at most 15 more minutes on non-Dynasty emails. The rest of the show will be Dynasty. Here we go. This is River Martin in South Carolina. Do you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be a boom or bust player this year?
Yes.
Actually, that's the way I interpreted it. I didn't think he was. I didn't know if he meant like, do you think he'll be boom or do you think he'll be bust or do you think he'll just be one of those boom or bust guys?
I think there's a chance for him to be a boom or a bust, not a guy that one week he's going to have 130 yards and a touchdown, and the next week on the same amount of carries, 45 yards and no touchdown. I think he's either going to be the guy in Kansas City's backfield who gets the majority of the touches and just, you know, takes advantage of what defenses give the Chiefs, or he struggles to adapt to the offense. He's in a part-time role with Damian Williams and Darwin Thompson, and he might give you double-digit fantasy points once every 4 weeks. You won't be happy about it.
In these types of situations, there's a lot that we don't know. I think it's helpful to kind of latch onto what you do know. We know that he's in an amazing offense. We know that they used a first-round pick on him while they already had all their other backs that are currently on the roster on the roster. They made the decision to commit to him, and they thought he was the best running back in the class because they took him first. Those things are all very good for him immediately in 2020. There's still a lot of uncertainty about how much he'll play, but there's a lot of reason to be happy about it.
From Matthew. From Dave?
Matthew is from Henderson, Nevada.
Is it crazy to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Kenyon Drake at the 1-2 turn?
Yes.
I think you can do better than that at the 1-2 turn. You can get one of those guys and somebody who's better, a Joe Mixon, one of the top receivers that are out there. If you don't want to mess with tight end, you can get Kelsey there.
Okay. From D, he's also from that city in Nevada, by the way. Why is nobody talking about Christian McCaffrey's huge workload from last season? I found an article Jamie wrote in 2014. Wow. About Marshawn Lynch's 400 touch season. CMC out-touched Lynch, and it feels like everyone is underestimating the risk of regression through injury or otherwise. I have the number one pick in two of my most important leagues, so I am concerned. Please discuss on the show.
So the argument that I would give is that not all touches are created equally. And you look at Derrick Henry's touches from the year, the overwhelming majority of them are carries. Christian McCaffrey had 100 catches. And those catches, they usually don't ding up a running back like a carry would. So even though he had over 400, a lot of them were not the same type of touch that Derrick Henry had. And so I think you can believe that his body will heal up and he'll feel better and he'll, you know, go out there and keep doing what he's doing. Henry is going to say that he feels fine. He's ready to go. He told us that at the Super Bowl. He told us during at Radio Row, I could play another 16 games right now. I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but we've seen running backs when they have these huge carry seasons. And we just got done talking about this during the fantasy football yesterday week and the bust players. There is some serious regression a lot of the time, and it usually involves a foot injury. And so I think that's kind of what you have to look for with Derrick Henry is, could that workload come down either because of injury, because of the Titans trying to reel him in a little bit, or is he just a freak of nature and he just goes out there and steamrolls everybody?
I will say that in both the case of Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey, we're getting a little bit loose with the numbers and loose with historical data. We don't have very many examples of players with 400, with the number of touches that Christian McCaffrey had last season and the way they were distributed. We do have a belief and some data that says that receptions are not as dangerous to running backs as carries, but it's not like we have several 300 carry, 100 catch running backs to compare about whether they'll break down. And the Derrick Henry thing, like the 400 carry thing was always, he had 400 carries in the regular season, and now we've extended it to he had over 400 touches in the regular season and three playoff games. So like both of these cases are not exactly along the lines of the historical data we'd normally use, and that historical data that we'd normally use is an extremely small sample size.
And so, I just want to add one more note on to Dave's point. McCaffrey's specific type of work doesn't require a huge workload. So even if you are concerned that they'll scale him back this year because of it gets back to that trap back and high value touches that we talk about, because of the fact that he gets so many receptions as a high percentage of his touches, he doesn't need 400 touches to be the number one running back.
Christian McCaffrey outscored the number two running back in PPR by 156 fantasy points. Depends on the league, this website, whatever. The scoring is a little bit different. But on CBS in a non-decimal league, 156 fantasy points. That's ridiculous. Ezekiel Elliott had 433 touches in 2018, and he was the top four running back last year. He did have a noticeable drop-off in explosive plays, though. He went from 11 carries of 20-plus yards to only four. I have noticed over time that is a little bit of a flexible stat, but Ezekiel Elliott was just fine. One other player, Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell in 2017 would probably be the best comp for Christian McCaffrey. He had 321 carries, and he had 85 catches. So not quite as many catches, but more carries. And then he sat out 2018. So we have no idea what happened there. All right, next email here. By the way, thank you for that email, D. Good stuff. From Sal in the Motor City. 12-team PPR redraft league. We keep one player from the fifth round or later. We can keep them for two more years after we draft a player, and then he will go back to the draft pool. Who should I keep? Aaron Jones in the ninth round for one more year, or Mark Andrews in the last round for two more years? So it's actually a little deceiving. It's Aaron Jones this year and next year, or Mark Andrews for this year and two more years, but Jones in the ninth round and Andrews in the 17th round.
I'm keeping Andrews.
It's tough to pass up Andrews because of the value and because you can keep him a little bit longer. So
I'm Andrews.
I think you have to go that way.
Andrews, for sure.
The funny thing is that we'll all draft Jones before Andrews this year in fantasy.
There's an eight-round difference.
Not eight rounds before.
Yeah, but you know, not eight rounds before, but what's the difference between keeping a guy in round 9 and keeping a guy in round 17?
It's,
I mean, either
massive.
Way.
It's a good point.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot different than keeping a guy in round 2 or keeping a guy in round 9. That's a huge difference. You're going to get a steal either way. I think it's just I'm nervous about Aaron Jones being a big-time fantasy running back this year and next year.
Yeah, right.
I think he can probably do it this year. And if he does and he gets a new contract, then those concerns will be gone. But if he has anywhere close to a mediocre year, his career trajectory can change fast. I don't see that happening with Andrews.
All right, this is from Casey. He says, hey, David, Johnny, Moira, and Alexis.
Schitt's Creek.
I don't watch that show. I need to, don't I?
You do.
Yeah. Can you guys rank the three receivers for the Giants?
Nope, we can't. Next question.
Shepherd, Tate, Slayton.
Shepherd, Tate, Slayton.
I have, I might have Slayton highest. Let's see where I have Shepherd. Yeah,
it,
I have.
It depends on scoring for me.
What I have got? Slayton highest, and then Shepherd and Tate.
Slayton's highest for me in non PPR. In full PPR, I'm going to stick with Shepherd. I just think he's a little safer.
From No Name, Dave, provide.
Juan
from
Torrance, California.
12-team half PPR. Keep one. Chris Godwin, third round. Devin Singletary, eighth round. James Conner, 11th round.
See, now this is an example of rounds making a huge difference. And I think Godwin's probably the safest of the three. So
Godwin in the third?
It's got the least amount of value, at least in terms of draft round, obviously. But I think if you're keeping Godwin if it's for 1 year even, it's still a good deal.
Here's the thing. If you want Chris Godwin, you're probably going to have a chance to draft him. So I'll take Connor in the 11th.
But in the keeper, it makes it tougher. He might not. We don't know if this is his last keeper or the only keeper. But even if it's only one keeper and there's 12 keepers off the board, that pushes Godwin up to like a mid-first rounder probably.
Right. Even if everybody's keeping one player and that's it, Godwin could still potentially be a late first-round pick. And what if he has like the first pick? He's going to take Godwin? Then of course he's not. So he's not going to get it. I'm keeping Godwin.
This is from Bob.
I think Connor in the 11th is a fair argument too, though.
Yeah.
Did you
see the picture of him?
Yeah, he looks swole.
he's not going to have to worry about offensive line or anything. He grew wings on his back. He's just going to fly over the defense.
All right, this is from Bob. He says, hey, Aaron, AJ, Jamal, and Tyler, that is Packers, 12 team standard scoring league, four keepers. There are three that seem fairly obvious to me: Aaron Jones, Miles Sanders, and Michael Thomas. Now, my fourth one, is it Amari Cooper, Kenny Galladay, George Kittle, or Cortland Sutton?
Can we remove Aaron Jones?
It's non-PPR, by the way.
Why not?
In non-PPR, I'd rather have Jones than Cooper.
Oh, what's non?
I'll go Galladay. I'll go Galladay.
Over Kittle,
I'll go Kittle.
Yeah, I think I'm going Kittle, and it sounds like you can keep these guys for a while because you can keep four. So if you're keeping four players every year, I want Kittle on my team for a long time.
But I was going to go Kittle and want to take one of the receivers over Jones. But I guess in non, I agree.
And this is from Jet. Hey, Barry, Bobby, Bo, Bert, and Bruce.
Sound like baseball players.
Yeah, for sure.
Do they sound like baseball players? Because the first two do.
It's Barry, Bobby.
Bobby, and Bruce are Giants. San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, it's Giants, right? But who's Bo?
Oh, Bruce Bochy. Yeah, I have no idea what this is.
Oh, Jackson?
He never played for the Giants.
I decided to join a best ball league out of boredom while in quarantine, and I didn't know the best way to prep for the draft. I know the draft is the most and really the only important part of best ball, true, and I wanted to know certain stats or positions I should target. Good luck, Keith.
I guess the baseline I would tell you is you're going to want to draft 2 to 3 quarterbacks, 2 to 3 tight ends, and then the rest will be running backs and wide receivers. And the way I determine if I'm drafting 2 or 3 of the quarterbacks or tight ends is how good my first one is and what the bye week situation looks like.
That's pretty good.
I think that makes sense. In best ball for me, you guys know that I tend to wait at running back. I tend to go earlier at running back in best ball. Wide receiver is the much higher variance position, and in best ball formats, you can take, especially those high ADOT guys, right? The air yards, you can take these boom or bust weekly players a little bit later and load up with more wide receivers and really still have pretty good wide receiver upside with a lot of wide receiver depth.
Give me some names that you target in best ball, those streaky guys that don't hurt you as much.
Will Fuller for sure, 100%. John Ross really late. Sean
Jackson late
there, but he's an option. Yeah,
Sean Jackson late for sure. He would be on my list.
Okay. Marvin Jones, or is he just?
Yes, Marvin Jones. Yes,
but I don't know if you can get him late. I think Darius you just get Slayton. Him. I think you just get him like middle of the thing, maybe a little bit later than that.
Mike Williams is going late.
I didn't necessarily mean late. I'm sorry.
Will Fuller.
Mecole Hardman you take. Josh Reynolds,
Hardman's
I think,
a good
is
one.
Is a really late round guy that could be their deep threat.
I'm going to do some Texan stacks in best ball. Also, I'm much more interested in stacking quarterbacks, receivers, quarterbacks, tight ends in best ball than I am in redraft.
Okay.
Agreed.
Okay, this comes from Sully. We've got some tweets for you. Sully, as commissioner, how do you anticipate dealing with a shortened season? Say a second wave hits hard over the winter and the NFL decides to end its season. What would you do then? End the fantasy league with no winner? Make the person with the most points the champion? What would you do?
I think this is a smart thing to figure out before your season starts. And it's something commissioners should think about. In the league that I commission, I would probably make it clear that if at any point the season gets shut down, the team with the best record would be the de facto champion with points scored as the tiebreaker.
Okay, let me read one more here.
As long as probably with like a minimum of 4 games played or something, you know. But yeah, I mean, if you're 8 games in and one guy's 8-0, and
yeah, he wins.
Then the I'd probably just down. Call it off. I'm calling it off. For their running back.
Okay. John Ayers is our last email or tweet, and then we'll get to the dynasty stuff. John Ayers says, how are you approaching AJ Green's future? Solid wide receiver 2 potential for the next couple seasons, or is he about to fall off the proverbial cliff?
About to. Didn't he already?
He was really good first 8 games of 2018, and he's been really hurt since then. He's played 1 game in the last 24.
When he's right, I think you still view him as one of the best talents at wide receiver in the NFL.
How are you approaching him, though?
I'm approaching him like he said at the beginning of his email, that like is a number 2 receiver.
Cool.
That's where I was at in the beginning of the offseason, but his price has skyrocketed. In our early mocks, he was like a seventh or eighth round pick, and I took him a couple times, and I'm usually on the youth side. But now sure, that's he's like value. He's being drafted now
top 60.
Like he's perfectly healthy.
Yeah, well, you think so? Because like I said, when he was perfectly healthy, he was a second round pick, you know?
Yeah.
He's a fifth round pick now.
Right.
2 years ago.
If he's perfectly healthy and you're getting him like at the 4-5 turn, I think you're going to be happy.
That's where he's been going in a lot of our drafts. All right, cool. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, Apple Podcast questions, Dynasty emails. We'll keep on rolling here on Fantasy Football Today.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want to thank everybody for giving us nice reviews on Apple Podcasts. It's really awesome. We very much appreciate it. What you have to do, big favor for us, is go tell your friends and help our show grow. Hook someone else on this podcast so they can be in on all the inside jokes. And the next time you go out to dinner or something with this person, you can talk about how Jerry Maguire is not a sports movie. You know, things like that. Also, fantasy football. We talk about that. This one comes... Oh, you know what? The first two Apple Pod questions are about Diontae Johnson, so we'll skip those. But thank you to...
I could do that again if you want me to.
You were fired up. That was good. Thank you to JB and Kyle for those questions about Diontae Johnson. Now, Jopa85, keep two in a 10-team keeper league. Third-round pick, Miles Sanders. All right, so Miles Sanders in the third, Galladay in the fifth, DJ Moore in the sixth, James Conner in the seventh. Ben, you cannot keep DJ Moore twice.
He's the clear first.
Was that a real laugh or was that like a screw you
laugh? I will walk off this podcast.
Okay, it's a real laugh. Good. All right, DJ Moore in the sixth. I think we can all agree there, right?
Yep, sure.
Who else?
I think I'd go Galladay.
Yeah.
Okay. Galladay in the fifth over Sanders in the third. You are passing up Christian McCaffrey, basically, in the
Maybe
third.
Maybe it's Sanders.
JK, by the way.
It's full PPR, Adam?
They don't say.
If it's non-PPR, I might say goodbye to Moore. I really might. I know.
What?
Yeah.
Dave's right. Dave's right. Moore. Sanders.
You know, those catches are, they don't weigh the same, obviously. What happens if he has a year where it's, you know, 90 catches for 1,050 yards and 5 touchdowns? Still good. You would take that in non-PPR, but I think Galladay can beat that, and I think Sanders can definitely beat that.
Okay. From
he averaged 13.5 yards per catch last year and 14.3 as a rookie, so he's not your typical possession receiver.
Probably not going to have 13 averages 10.
What's that?
Probably not going to average 10.5 next year, you don't think?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, Galladay will beat him, and that I think it comes down to like Galladay's gonna probably have a higher yards per catch because Galladay's really good at that. But also, it's touchdowns. I think Matthew Stafford. It's
well, the question I have about Galladay's touchdowns though is look at his touchdown rate before last year. Like last year is, I don't think we don't know for sure yet that Kenny Galladay is just a high touchdown rate guy. He was a low touchdown rate guy, and he shares the field with Marvin Jones, who has like one of the highest touchdown rates in the last 10 years.
So this is what I would just say in general. You're talking about a guy who's played 3 years. For wide receivers, I really don't care what they do in year one, right? Like I'm not going to talk about.
Well, I mean, if it's good in year one,
yes, I care big time. But if he doesn't have, I don't care about his touchdown rate in year one personally. So then you're talking about year two versus year three. He had 11 touchdown catches last year, Galladay. Like, I would not right. expect that, but I would probably expect 8. And
yeah, the thing about Galladay is that he's good both in deep ball situations and in red zone situations. And that's what helps contribute to a lot of touchdowns. And I think he started to really put it all together last year.
Should I care about year one touchdown rate?
No, not really. Probably I don't not. Think.
Okay.
I think yards in year one is helpful though. If a guy's not getting is getting on the field and not producing like JJ Arcega-Whiteside last year, I think that's a pretty negative indicator.
All right, this is an Apple Podcast question from Praise the Jord. Hey, David, Tim, George, and Sean. I'll Google.
Spurs? That's David Robinson, Tim Duncan, oh. George Gervin, and Sean Elliott.
Wow.
That's my guess.
Could be.
That's a hell of a pull.
But shouldn't George be... George Karl. I mean, George Popovich. George Popovich.
That's Greg Popovich.
Greg Popovich. But I'm thinking, shouldn't George be on the
Dave,
team?
Dave, I was thinking,
the other
that
three?
Doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that didn't sound right to me either. Was there a George on the team? Because they're all right, whatever. Dynasty League is drafting rookies. Boy, I really want to edit that part out, but I'll leave it in. I have pick 112. Who should I target in the first round? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. This is rookies and available free agents are targeting here. Notable free agents are Raheem Mostert, Rob Gronkowski, Noah Fant, Hayden Hurst, and Preston Williams.
Kind of a dynasty league has those guys available.
Yeah, why is Fant available? But I don't know that I would take any of those guys over who you can get at 112 in this class. Not Mostert or Gronk or Preston Williams or Hurst. Fant's the only one I would consider personally. But I would probably take Chenault over him, who I think you can get at 112.
The really interesting thing is if you have 112, you won the league last year.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's a 14-team league.
Probably won the league. I mean, if these guys are all on the waiver wire, I don't think it's a 14-team league, but it could be.
How can they be on the waiver wire in a 12-team league?
Well, like Gronk, Hurst, and Preston Williams, I don't think are all that surprising. Most
I guess. Well, I mean, no one's stashing Preston Williams after the ACL. Hurst, I agree with you on, and Gronk, I agree with you on. Gronk was a free agent in our dynasty league.
Yeah, but if I was really weak at tight end and I had a contender going for a repeat, I might just take
Gronk
Hurst.
Or Hurst. So I think what we should do is everybody should pick the player they want the most from that list of free agents, I'm saying. And then I'll start running off names of players from the rookie class that might be there at 12 and tell me if you're going to take that guy. Like, for the sake of the argument, I'll take Gronk. Okay, I need to win now. I want a tight end. I'm drafting Gronk ahead of Fant and redraft.
So I can tell you that I actually am in two leagues where this happens and where this happened. And I took Gronk at 302 in one of them, and he went at like 202 in the other one.
Right, because someone will take a chance on him right around that range. But I look at guys like Justin Jefferson, Michael Pittman, T. Higgins, Chenault, Denzel Mims. I think they'll all be there, and I think I would take every last one of them ahead of Gronk if given the opportunity.
Me too.
So okay. That's what we're looking at, those types of receivers. Jefferson, Pittman, Higgins, Chenault, Mims. Keyshawn Vaughn might make it there. Zach Moss, if you really need a running back, might make it there. But go with one of those guys. Or if you don't really have any needs and you want to get the best quarterback prospect that's come out in the last 8 years, you just draft Burrow.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think there was anybody named George that played on any of the Spurs teams with Tim Duncan and David Robinson. And
but George Gervin was like one of their all-time.
Yeah,
no, players.
I'm just saying. But I also Googled George Popovich, and Greg Popovich came up. So that like there's nobody even named Greg Pop, George Popovich.
Adam's favorite Seinfeld character is Greg.
We had a really good dynasty tweet. Adam, could I read it?
Yes, let's get going here. Go.
It's from Keith Hummings. I just completed the most anti-Ben Gretsch trade in my life. 16-team best ball dynasty league. Grade the trade. Gave up Ronald Jones, Keyshawn Vaughn, Laviska Shenault, Van Jefferson, Darwin Thompson, and Quez Watkins. Received Derrick Henry, and T.Y. Hilton.
Win. I know that you're giving up a lot of youth for those guys, but you win.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad trade for Heath. And I obviously love Chenault, and I really like Quez Watkins as a really deep sleeper. I don't like Van Jefferson, but pretty much every other player you said I like. And that's why he said
And you hate the guys I got.
And I don't like the guys you got, and I always prioritize youth. And I still don't think you lost that trade.
I do like Van Jefferson. I think that Robert Woods could be gone after this year.
Right.
They took him in the second round.
I think he's
going to
have a solid career in the NFL, but that's it. Just a
solid
career.
I think he fits well with the Rams.
I'm not sure he'll have any 1,000-yard seasons.
Quez Watkins, by the way, is a...
Who's a better prospect, Van Jefferson or Deontay Johnson?
Deontay Johnson.
I would say Johnson. Not a good and I like both of them.
Yeah.
Well, so Van Jefferson stayed until his redshirt senior year, and his career high in market share of yards on any team he played on, he played in two different colleges, was 21%, which is really, really low. You're hoping for a 30% breakout age, so basically didn't break out. Deontay Johnson at least was an early declare, and he had a big, I think it was his redshirt sophomore season.
Does he count as an early declare if he redshirts?
Yeah, he still declared early.
But he was there for 4 years.
Right, but it still counts as an early declare. That's why it's called early declare instead of like 4 year.
Let's go to the next one.
Like, I just think if you're there 5 years, it should be a late declare. He was an on-time declare.
Okay, from the Bob Barker. 2020 Dynasty Rookie Free Agent Draft. I have picks 1.3, 1.5, 1.14. Should I focus on running backs early or target Lamb or Judy at 5? I have Kamara and James White at running back. I have Keenan Allen, AJ Green, and Michael Gallup at wide receiver. So I'd say he needs, you know, everything here. 1.3, 1.5, 1.14. What would you do?
I was in this exact, not exactly the same, but pretty much the same situation in our dynasty draft. And like 3 days before the dynasty draft, I was dead set on getting two receivers. And then I looked at my running backs, which are probably in actually worse shape than the ones that you've got. And I ended up taking one receiver, and it ended up being Lamb. And then I took the best available running back when I was up again in round one, and that ended up being Cam Akers. And then I traded back into the round to pick up Joe Burrow.
I think I feel pretty confident one of Lamb or Judy will be there at 3.
They both could be there.
I'm going to take Dobbins at 3. And Lamb or Judy at 5.
Yeah, you're guaranteed one of them to be there. That's excellent.
All right, cool. Good stuff. Next question from Macy Taylor. Do you think Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray will have a better future in the long run, including injuries?
Lamar Jackson. Why are people still doubting Lamar Jackson?
I'm not even sure Lamar is more likely to get hurt than Kyler.
In his second season, Michael Vick had almost 3,000 passing yards, and he had 777 rushing yards. Okay, not as good as what Lamar Jackson did. The touchdowns were nowhere near the same. 16 passing, 8 rushing touchdowns. But that was a
so
hell
he was
of
not
a year.
Anywhere close to on the same level as good as Lamar Jackson.
Well, yeah, in terms of yards, wait, hold on.
The whole new revolution of offense.
I'm just saying, in terms of yards, he was fairly similar. He didn't have a great career after that, really. He didn't have a great fan.
He spent time in a federal penitentiary. Are we gonna is that the comp that we're gonna make?
He played till 2015, and he had 4 more seasons in the NFL before that. So he was he never really
I'm just looking like after that time, he had a year where he got hurt, then a year where he was number 12, number 6, number 2, and then he was in jail, and then he was number 1 overall, and then number 11. Like, he had 5 good seasons.
He had 2 great seasons.
2
after
top
that.
2 seasons.
Yeah.
And again, 2 things. One, it was a worse atmosphere for him to play in, for sure. That's, I think, unquestionable. This is like pre a lot of the concussion stuff and everything. And then number 2, Lamar Jackson's just a different player. Like, yeah, it's the best comp we have, but Lamar Jackson, like, it almost is unfair to Lamar Jackson to comp him to just the closest thing we have to him. He's a very unique player. He just won the MVP in his second season. He's way better than Kyler Murray, and I love Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm. Look, when I bring this stuff up, I don't want people to think that I'm taking a stand. I'm just giving a comp and playing devil's advocate.
Oh, I don't think anyone does.
Well, the way you talked to me, like I don't know, I felt like that. So
sorry.
Just bringing it up, I was really Heath, not you, but just both of you. I just wanted to bring that up, like, you know, if Lamar Jackson, I've said a lot of stupid things, but I think the dumbest thing I ever said was that I thought RG3 was going to end up being better than Andrew Luck. And, you know, I think it was fairly reasonable, but it ended up being absolutely moronic. So Lamar Jackson needs to stay healthy.
I don't
think
you should feel that bad about that one.
Yeah, I don't either.
RG3 got hurt. Like, Kyler Murray could get hurt too. Kyler Murray's got, he's a little guy that's going to run a lot as well.
Remember how good RG3 was as a rookie?
Yeah,
he was amazing, but you could tell that he was starting to break down toward the end of that year. Like, physically, he was taking hits, and he was slow to get up, and he wasn't moving quite the same way.
And it's not like if you missed out on Andrew Luck in Dynasty, you missed out on, like, two good years.
Okay, I'm sorry for sidetracking here. From Tyler, I currently have James Conner and Chris Carson in full PPR Dynasty. I already have pick 1.5 and 1.11. I'm excited about the class and might consider trading the aforementioned running backs for more picks. Connor and Carson, he's saying he wants to trade for more picks. Mm-hmm. Is this a big brain move or am I sabotaging myself? My other running backs are Breida and Coleman.
It is exactly the type of move you should make every year. And I know, like, Heath and I kind of disagree, but running backs are depreciating assets. These guys are both 25. They are never going to have more value than they have right now. Even if they come back and both have good years this year, they're going to be 26-year-old running backs, and they're going to be 27-year-old running backs. No one trades a lot of value for an aging running back. It just doesn't happen in dynasty leagues. Yes, they can help you win now, but this is the type of move that I make all the time in dynasty. I think it's a smart move.
I don't believe, like, that there is a huge market for, maybe James Conner's traps will help this, but I don't believe there's a huge market for Connor or Carson in Dynasty. They're both viewed as guys with pretty fragile futures.
Yes.
I'm not dealing those guys for, like, second round picks. And I don't think you're getting picks better than 1.11. If you could package Carson and 1.11 for a top six pick, then yeah, do it. If you could package Connor and 1.11 for a top four pick, then sure, do it. But I'm not trading those guys for second round picks. Maybe, and I don't know if Ben was saying that he would or not, but I don't think you can get a first rounder for them.
No, I think that was a very reasonable and level-headed response, actually. Heath?
All right. So we got three more of these Apple Podcast questions. First one's going to Dave, second one's going to Heath, third one's going to Ben. From Medic Nick, I'm taking over a team with Zeke, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, and Kyler Murray. In half PPR, awesome. Which three should I keep? You have to throw back one, Dave. Zeke, Jacobs, Aaron Jones, and Kyler.
I'll throw back Kyler.
Okay, this is Heath from KJM 1978. Half PPR, 4 point per passing touchdown league. Josh Jacobs in the third or Lamar Jackson in the eighth?
I've got to take Lamar Jackson.
From Lewis, north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's Newcastle, he explains. Hey, Johnny, Steve, Chris, and Bam.
Oh, that's Jackass.
Oh. If we could say it.
Oh, yeah. We already said Schitt's Creek. I think we could say Jackass. I was on the clock at 1.3 in the rookie draft, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire was there. We did say that.
Did you lean into your mic to say that?
He whispered it softly in our ears.
Hey, real quick, Heath, what's your Instagram account if people wanted to follow what you do in your life?
Heath's Meat.
Heath's Meat. Thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, Ben, Lewis was on the clock at 1.3 in the rookie draft. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was there. All of a sudden, I got a notification for a trade, which was my 1.3, 2021 second rounder, and Kenyon Drake. And I would get his 2021 second rounder and Christian McCaffrey. And I took it. Did I make a good move?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
The swapping of 2021 seconds, whatever value you think is there, isn't. And I would trade McCaffrey for the 103 and Drake for sure. I would acquire McCaffrey in that scenario.
Now it's time for emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Dynasty emails. Dave in Flint wants to know, is there a smart way to start a startup dynasty team? Oh, sorry. Is there a smart way to draft a startup dynasty team when you have rookies involved? Hearing a lot about rookies being drafted separately from veterans. However, the dynasty startup I'm in is doing a draft with everyone in the pool, and being on the last place, being on the last place team for picking, I have the eighth pick out of eight. I'm wondering when it would be smart to draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire or another rookie. Okay. Well, first of all, that is how it, like the startup drafts include everyone. Then the subsequent drafts year after year are just the rookies.
I can just say broadly, I don't know about when you would draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but broadly, rookies in startup drafts are profitable moves. They typically go later than people expect. They hold their value even if they have poor rookie seasons. They can be more productive in year one than people give them credit for. And even if they're bad, you can, like I said, they hold their value. Unless they're horrible. Unless they're N'Keal Harry, then they lose value, or JJ or Sega Whiteside. But even guys that are poor, like David Montgomery, is still, you can still trade him this offseason for plenty of value.
Is Ronald Jones an example of that?
Yeah, he would be an example of the guy that lost a ton of value.
Okay.
I'm going to read.
Broadly, like his rookie year, value. He was a zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are also ones that shoot up, right? Like AJ Brown. Last year, you could have probably drafted in the ninth round.
Amazing
that
you bring up AJ Brown.
I'm just gonna read something though. They're just gonna read just for the benefit of our listeners. Startup draft that we did in a few weeks ago. Startup Dynasty League. Heath, was this a Superflex League? I believe it was, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm just gonna read the first two rounds. McCaffrey, Barkley, Kamara, Zeke, Mixon, Michael Thomas, Dalvin Cook, Miles Sanders, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, ninth overall to me for some reason. That makes sense. Devontae Adams, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Chris Godwin, Hopkins, Juju, Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, Mike Evans, Kenyon Drake, D.J. Moore, and Kyler Murray. Hope that helps. From Nick, grade the trade in a 12-team PPR Dynasty League. Gave up Justin Jefferson and Emmanuel Sanders. Received Michael Gallup and Nyheim Hines.
Yeah, I think I like that for you.
Yeah,
I like it.
I like Gallup more than Jefferson considerably.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And how long is Emmanuel Sanders going to have?
I don't think... Like,
he didn't last year.
I don't know what the odds are that Emmanuel Sanders ever in your lineup.
And Hines, by all indications, should have some PPR value. But it is interesting to like Gallup. I don't disagree, but to like Gallup significantly more than Jefferson. Jefferson was a first-round pick.
I kind of raised my eyebrow at that.
Heath, you want to give a 20-second explanation?
I don't really think... Like, I just don't really think that Lamb has had that big of an impact on Gallup in my perception, and he was awesome last year. I think he's a borderline number two wide receiver this year, and there's a chance that Amari Cooper's gone after this year, contract-wise, and it's just Gallup and Lamb.
Okay. This is from...
You can make some really fun team names with Lamb and Gallup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is from No Name, but it's a Peaky Blinders reference. Dear Tommy, Arthur, John, and Alfie, 12-team half PPR Dynasty League. Last week, I was offered David Montgomery, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Jared Cook for Kittle and Fournette. So he would have given up Kittle and Fournette to get Montgomery, Juju, and Cook. I turned it down, but I'm unsure if I did the right thing. What do you guys think?
You didn't.
You would have taken that.
Yeah, I think Juju and Kittle are just about a push for me. And I would rather have David Montgomery than Leonard Fournette right now.
Yeah, and I actually would take Juju over Kittle, but I agree. Kittle should be really close to Juju, but yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I don't think Jared Cook has much value, but Fournette, I'd rather have Montgomery than Fournette too.
They could both be crapola by 2021. I like Kittle better than Juju.
This email's from Eli. I know you guys are doing a Dynasty mailbag, so here it goes. My friends and I are starting an 8-team Dynasty League. In the past, we've done 12 and 10 team leagues, but people kept dropping out, and we felt like we had a solid 8 to start one now. I'm just wondering what format and scoring you would recommend for Dynasty startups. It's going to be PPR, and we'll do fab. I want to do like 25 to 30 rounds. I keep saying it should be a 2QB league, especially if it's 8 teams.
Mm-hmm.
How many rounds and what 100%. Format? Yeah. Okay, so how many rounds and what format do you recommend? And anything else we should add?
I would also say you should do at least 3 running backs, at least probably 5 receivers. This goes right to the stuff we talked about like earlier this offseason about the future of fantasy, and people should use deeper lineups anyways. But if you're going to do an 8-man dynasty league, I think you should require everyone to start a lot more players at every position. Probably two tight ends too.
You can get away with two quarterbacks and two tight ends. I might go two running backs with that and three receivers and maybe one flex, or maybe scrap the second tight end. Oh, here's what you do. Do a super flex. Then you don't have to do two quarterbacks. You can do a quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, two tight ends, and a super flex.
Yeah.
I'm just saying add like 3 to 5 starting spots over what you just said, Dave. Like a lot.
You could, yeah.
Also go IDP.
Sure.
You can do IDP as well. But there should be, if not three running backs, then have like three flexes.
Yeah.
And two quarterbacks.
Have.
There's nothing that makes less sense to me than drafting a whole bunch of players and putting most of them on your bench. Like, start. You drafted them, so start them.
And Jason, I would also say 30 rounds. I play in a lot of 30-round 12-team leagues. It's not as deep as it sounds. And especially in an 8-team league, if you don't go 30 rounds, you're going to have really good players just available.
Well, and I think like in a dynasty league, you're trying to make it like the NFL. There's not a lot of players sitting on the waiver wire in the NFL. And there are a lot of players sitting on benches in the NFL. So that's okay.
And there will be plenty of players on your bench, even if you add a number of starters to your lineup. I didn't mean to say like start everyone, but just, you know, I play in one dynasty that's two running backs and three wide receivers. What's the point? I have so many guys on my bench. It's so annoying. Okay. Jason from Spurberry. Hey, Farva, Thorny, and Captain John. If Ben is on the pod, he's definitely the German guy that got caught speeding. I don't know.
I can't pull over any further, that guy.
I can't. I don't remember. I walked out of that movie, by the way. But then I learned to love it, so don't hate me for it. Okay, 12-team dynasty, half PPR. Must start 4 wide receivers, a flex, and a tight end, and a super flex. I'm giving up Julio Jones, Cam Akers, Zach Moss, and a 2021 third-round pick. So he's giving up Julio, Akers, Moss, and a 2021 third-round pick. That's a pretty sizable amount to give up.
It's a large package.
Receiving option 1. Edwards-Helaire, Damian Williams, Tyler Lockett, Will Fuller, and a 2021 second round pick. Or receiving option 2. Christian McCaffrey and Reggie Bonifon. Would you take either of these?
Yes.
I'd take McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think I would.
I don't think I would. I know it sounds crazy. I don't know. I'm in for the first option. Edwards-Helaire, Lockett, Fuller, and the earlier pick in the 2021 draft.
Yeah, I like that too.
I do feel like you're giving up a lot in the short term for McCaffrey. It feels like a lot. Julio plus Cam Akers plus Zach Moss.
Julio is a guy, though, that getting back to where I was saying with the 25-year-old running backs, he's another guy that I think in Dynasty, you try to trade him a year early because that when they fall off, their value goes so far down. And you could turn him into some really good young running backs that can help you in 2022 and 2023. Julio might not be able to.
Do you see any evidence of Julio slowing down?
Not yet.
I think you could probably squeeze maybe 3 more years out of him.
Maybe.
Okay, so ready for rapid fire to finish the show?
Yep.
Here we go. Matt Griffith says, I'm in a dynasty league. I need a starting running back. I want to offer either Ruggs or Higgins for a running back. Which wide receiver should I trade and who should I target at running back?
I would prefer to trade Higgins.
But I don't think you can get a running back that will help you for Higgins.
Right.
I don't Ruggs.
I'm looking at your trade chart, Heath, and you've got Ruggs slightly ahead of Ronald Jones.
And Geis.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Ruggs. You've got Fournette way
down. What
about
Kareem Hunt?
That's a good one to try. Yeah, I'd rather have Hunt. I'd rather have Hunt than Ruggs for sure.
Really? That's interesting. That's kind of hoping for the best for him. I mean,
Ruggs or Hunt?
Or Hunt.
Well, the idea is with Hunt, he eventually escapes Cleveland, has a couple of years as a starter.
I think it's more likely that Kareem Hunt helps you this year than Ruggs for sure.
But
I think Ruggs probably long term.
Ruggs is still going to be a Raider.
That doesn't mean
but
he
the Raiders can always find a new quarterback after this year. If they, so they might
this
do
wasn't,
it in the middle of this.
This wasn't
year.
Rapid fire. Let's try again.
That's rapid
fire. Now we're starting rapid fire.
From No Name, I put Christian McCaffrey on the trade block to see what kind of offers I could get. I've received some interesting ones. One offer is Kenyon Drake, Julio Jones, and a 2021 first for McCaffrey and Will Fuller. Would you do that?
No.
No.
Okay. Grade the dynasty trade from Tony in a city somewhere or another. This is like all picks. Give 2020 1.7. He has picks 7 and 11 this year in the rookie draft. Give the 7th overall pick. Get pick 2.11, a 2021 first, and a 2022 second.
I'm taking that deal.
F.
Oh.
F minus.
Really?
F minus? To, you're moving back 4 spots. You get an extra first in 2021.
No, he's moving back around in 4
spots. Around in 4 spots.
Oh, I read it wrong. I'm a moron.
I still would do this. Heath, why would you still? Why would you give that an F?
That's too far to move back.
I like 7 a lot.
Yeah,
I'm
but
going
you're getting
a player that I like. There's 2.11 is just 100% a dart throw. And we don't know what this first round pick's going to be next year.
You might be able to get Chenault at 2.11.
Oh.
I've seen him go that way.
You're guaranteed.
I mean, A.J.
One,
Dillon, Zach Moss. I don't think it's such a dart throw. I think you can get a reasonable pick, and then you get a first next year.
Yeah, but the first could be late. I get what Heath's saying with it. Yeah. You're guaranteed one of these guys at 107.
You're
Lamb,
Judy. You're probably going to get Judy or Lamb.
One of the top 5 running backs. Yeah.
I think next year is going to be even better. So I think so too,
but you just don't know where that one's going to be. That's not enough to move back around and change.
The quarterbacks next year are going to be even more. I think in a dynasty league that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a top 7 pick. He's going to go well ahead of Burrow, I would guess.
I disagree. I think he'll go as soon as somebody needs a quarterback next year. It'll be the same thing with that happening to Burrow. Most leagues will probably be a late first and rookie only.
All right, now we're starting rapid fire.
Now we're done. Rapid fire, say goodbye to everybody. I appreciate all the emails, everybody. This was fun. Always, when I see emails in the inbox, it just... I love connecting with the listeners. I appreciate it so much.
There will be an article on the site with more Dynasty questions being answered tomorrow.
Perfect.
So there you go.
A mailbag.
Who's
today.
Writing that?
What's that?
Who's writing that?
I am.
Oh, that's right.
And I recommend reading Ben's Advanced Stats 101 article. Anything
we're
I said.
Heat right now.
No. Chris didn't write anything this week, so he's got to find somebody else to write.
All right, we're out of here, everybody. Have a great weekend. We got another show coming on Monday, and I think Tuesday and Thursday. So it's bold prediction week next week. So we're looking forward to that. We'll talk to you then. See ya.